You ready, Shelley? I forgot the gavel. Okay, I'll go ahead and just call us to order this morning. Regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on March 11th, 2014. If the audience would join the board in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, public comment number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. Not see anybody moving towards the microphone. Consideration of minutes from 2:25 and 3:04.
Move approval.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. Anything further? Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. Minutes are approved. Consideration of personnel actions.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Anything further? Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. Personnel actions are approved. Consideration of claims.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. The claims have been approved. Looks like all items are good to go on the consent agenda.
Nothing to add, huh? Okay. Move approval of the consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
A motion and a second on the consent agenda. Anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. No public hearing items. Additional items. Consideration and discussion of the 2014-2015 Insurance Renewal and Wellness Program with the Iowa State Association of Counties and Wellmark. Amanda Baker.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Good. All right.
Good. How are you guys?
Good, thanks.
Good.
Getting heavier and heavier.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Kim Compton is with Wellmark as well. She's passing out the materials, brought her today because she's going to be working with the ISAC counties and servicing as well. So wanted to introduce her to the board, and then Alyssa and Jan also. So, again, I know she's been out with the counties and just to kind of meet everybody so that there's faces with names. And she'll be at the spring school on Thursday as well. So thanks for having me again. I think this is the fifth year I've come out and visited with Story County. So happy to see all the familiar faces. Alyssa asked me this morning just to kind of give a 10-minute summary of the renewal. Again, you guys are old pros, have been through this for many years. So with that, I'll point your attention on the right side of the folder to the packet of information on the front. It says Iowa State Association of Counties Group Health Program Fiscal Year 2013 Report for Story County. If you go to the second page of the report, this is that financial summary for the 24 counties that are in the ISAC pool. So this is all the money as far as what goes in and out of the pool, and then where we have the reserve balance. So for this year, the 33rd year that we've had the ISAC Health Insurance Association, they've obviously gathered a pretty large reserve balance. If you put your eyes over to the right side of the page, again, this shows the history from 08 to 2013, but we're really looking at this past year just to kind of give you guys, from a oversight standpoint, some of the details around the financials and what happened this year for the larger pool. We started the year with a beginning fund balance of $21.6 million, so pretty healthy dollar amount, as you can see, as you look towards the left side of the page, not much variation these past 6 years, so at a steady amount there. The next two sections are the income and the expenses that have come out of the program this year. So, again, in interest of time, I'll just share a couple of things. The county premiums in that first section being the biggest piece of the income, $23.2 million. Again, that's all 24 counties paying in for the health insurance for the members. Stop-loss credits about the middle of that section at $1.5 million. That's for those individuals that go over $100,000 in claims. Again, we've had wellness programming for a number of years now to try to keep those individuals down. This year definitely wasn't the highest year we've had, not the lowest, so we're kind of middle of the road. Just good to kind of keep an eye on that. The total revenue that we had coming into the program this year, the bolded figure at the bottom of that section, $25.3 million. The second half of the page gets into the expenses that came out of the fund this year. Obviously, the biggest piece being paid claims at $21.3 million. I think the positive there is if you look to the last 3 years, we've had pretty steady claims, which is, again, a positive as we look at what we've been experiencing here lately.
Amanda, before you go on, can you spend just a minute for me on Wellmark administration?
Sure, absolutely. So Wellmark's administration is us to be the third-party administrator to pay the claims. When you look at the Wellmark administration and the network access fees, which is a fee for Wellmark to give access to the networks, doctors and hospitals and their discounts, it's about a 2 or 3% increase overall. It does kind of look funny in that it looks like we're getting a $100,000 raise, but when you add those two numbers together, it brings it down. So I don't know if was that your point?
I was looking at the curve and I saw it. Sure. I saw it kind of spike this year.
So if you add, like I said, add those two numbers together, it's about a 2 or 3% increase overall.
Yep.
The other thing I'll just point out, we talked about the stop-loss credits up in the income section. There is the stop-loss premiums is a big portion of the budget, about the middle of the expense section. This year, we're paying about $1.7 million for, again, that protection for people going over $100,000 in claims and also for the overall pool if it would go 10% above the underwriter's projection. So those numbers creep up, and you might say Wellmark's on the hook for that, but we know premiums increase due to claims that are coming in. So good to keep those numbers down if we can, a little bit of an increase this year. Total expenses for the year were $25.1 million. Good news is we ended up about $240,000 above budget, so a little bit of a gain this year. We ended with a fund balance at $21.8 million. We were about 99% of budget. Page 3 shows all the counties and where they're premiums compared to their expenses came in, so I'll let you kind of just look at that information. Story County, the fifth county from the bottom, you can see the premiums that you've paid compared to the claims. This year, about $500,000 in premiums. The claims that came in were north of $600,000 if you add the two expense columns. However, we did have an adjustment for individuals over to $100,000 in claims. So because we have that protection on the Wellmark side, ISAC takes that out of your calculation. You're not penalized for that. Overall, though, if you look to the right of the page, we're at a 96% ratio. So again, positive that we're not in the red. We're not one of those several counties that were a little bit higher, which also factored into our renewal being a little bit better this year. Page 4 is the financial outlook. Again, every year this looks pretty similar. He tries to, Bill Peterson and ISAC, budget for potential increases in 14 and 15. So 12 and 13, we've already gone over those last year and this year. But 14 and 15, looking at a slight increase in terms of the budget. One thing that's new on the budget this year, you'll notice about halfway down the page, that expense section at the very bottom, ACA fees and charges. So this year is the year where we're going to start to have to pay the government for some Affordable Care Act or federal health care reform fees. The PCORI is Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute, and then transitional reinsurance. Those two numbers or those two fees total about $325,000 in fiscal year 14. In 15, it'll go up to about $330,000. One of the things that the board decided this year was to go ahead and pay those fees out of the reserve since we do have a pretty hefty balance there and we had a little bit of a net gain. So that's nice for the counties that you guys won't have that this year and they'll decide kind of in future years how they're going to handle that.
Feels like we've talked about this in the past. What percent reserve are we comfortable at?
It really varies, and ISAC has an auditor that looks at that every year. Private bodies can go as low as, a third of your claims you budget. Obviously, we have enough to pay about a year's worth of claims, and I think, the auditor has said that that's appropriate. So when you're public, you want to make sure you've got a little extra cushion there.
Outlooks. That information out for you, but I had heard him, rule of thumb in most categories is around 20 to 25% is what they're trying to look at, but I don't know.
Well, for a public entity, 25% is about right.
I can check on that for you.
It's just we've been running 80% or more, and it looks to me like now we're taking it down by using the reserves to pay the ACA
a little
fees.
Bit, yeah.
We're taking it down closer to 50.
Not closer to 50. This illustration kind of looks at best and worst case scenarios.
Yep.
So ACA is factored into that, but also if you look below the ending fund balance, right under the total expenses, you can see for 2015, for example, $28 million. what the planned annual net gain loss is, and then the ending fund balance. The plan would be to be at $21.3 million, which is pretty close to where we're at today in 2015. That's that 99%. However, we have some additional liability, and that's due to claims being paid after the time frame runs out, so we have providers that lag in filing those claims. So that's the annualized IBNR. It's called incurred but not reported. And then okay. The second one is maximum additional liability. That's if we'd go 10% over the underwriter's projection. So again, we project at what the underwriter projects, but we still have that additional 10% liability.
So the $15 million is worst case scenario.
Okay. Correct. You got it. Any other questions on that? So last few pages on page 5, we've got all the different plan options that the ISAC pool offers. These have not changed from last year. We do have some ACA minor changes that are going in. We'll be discussing those with Alyssa and Jan. We'll get through all the details. But from your standpoint, the deductibles, copays, coinsurance, everything's staying the same. And I'll look back to Alyssa. We offer 8, 9, 10, 11, and 13 still. Okay, great. Page 6. This shows for Story County your historical utilization, so premiums and claims and what that's looked like since you joined the pool in 1999. Every year we talk about how ISAC calculates each county on a five-year basis, so they look at the last 5 years and what your losses have been. This year for Story County in 2008, last year we were using that 139%. That dropped off. We had a good year this year, so we're looking better in terms of our claims five-year ratio. At the very bottom of the page, you can see for our average contracts at 60 over that time frame, we're at a 98%. Okay. Page 7 just shows, for your information, the expense breakdown of four-story counting. So we went through the high-level bolded numbers, but this just shows kind of the itemized charges that ISAC's factoring into your use ratio. At a summary, at the very bottom of the page level, you've got average contracts of 62 during this fiscal year. Annual cost per contract was close to $8,000 compared to the ISAC average at $11,989.38. So again, we had a pretty decent year. Pages 8 and 9, getting close to the home stretch here. This page just shows for your plans. Again, the first page, you're offering all those plans 8, 9, 10, 11, and then the second page, plan 13 in the middle of the page, where your rates are as of the renewal, July 1st, 2014. At the very top right-hand part of the page, you'll see that kind of how your rates are determined and the experience adjustment due to your claim, so that five-year ratio, you're at a base rate. So there's no upwards or downwards adjustment for that. You also achieved a 2% wellness discount, so your rates are discounted a total of 2%, which is what's reflected in this sheet. You've got the base rates and then that 2% discount there. Page 10 just kind of summarizes everything we've talked about, and if you look at Story County, the fifth from the bottom, and trace all the way over to the right side of the page, you'll see in 2014, the very last column, our wellness adjusted discount ratio was a base rate. So that's where you see the 1. This year, because we were able to obtain that wellness discount of 2%, we do have a little bit better discount. So again, that factors into, we did get the base rate increase from ISAC, but it's 2% under that because of where we achieved our wellness discount, which is always positive to see that number going down. That certainly helps things. And then page 11 is kind of the final summary. So for every county, where their overall increases are on the far right side of the page, for the different plans that Story County offers, anywhere between a 2 and a 3% increase is what the renewal comes in. And that's based on an average increase for the ISAC pool at 5.59%. And then we take into account that additional 2% discount. That's why we are under that average increase. And certainly good news for Story County this year. Finally, the last page, page 12, just kind of goes through an overview of the ISAC Board of Directors and what they approved on December 4th of 2013. Wayne was at that meeting this year. recommended and approved the base rate increase at 5.59%. They also adopted a discount proposal to lose that discount up to 5%. So obviously in years where we have worse claims experience, we could get a little bit of a bump up for our claims, but obviously we didn't have that. So some counties, when you look at 10% increases and things like that, that's the scenario that they're in. And then lastly, they did adopt a proposal to pay those ACA fees this year. Any other questions?
Good report. Thank you for your work.
Thanks, everybody. Good to see you this morning. We'll see you in a couple days at the school. Yep.
Next is the...
That was a consideration, you guys.
So we just need a motion to accept it.
I move acceptance of the Insurance Renewal and Wellness Program Report.
Second.
A motion and a second to accept. Anything further? Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
Discussion and consideration of Central Iowa Community Services Regional Management Plan for fiscal year 2015. Deb Shildroth.
Morning, it's Deb. Always a good day when we get to see Deb.
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, before you is the management plan, the policies and procedures section for Central Iowa Community Services. This is a requirement of redesign. And part of our 28E agreement for our region requires the individual boards of supervisors in each county to approve the initial plan. So that is what you have before you. This plan has also been shared with our local advisory board, our regional advisory board, and then various stakeholder groups throughout the community. So we've shared that and have had given people an opportunity to provide input. Once approved by the Story County Board, it goes to the regional board on Monday, and then it is due to the Department of Human Services by April 1st for their review. The format of the plan is actually a template that was created by our region and then used by a committee created through ISAC that worked on it a little bit further. And so the layout of the plan is something that should be similar throughout all of the regions in the state so that there's some continuity and consistency. And of course, that's one of the things that we're trying to achieve with regionalization. So I just wanted to go through briefly some of the sections of the plan. And then if you have any questions or comments, I will certainly entertain those. The first section just talks about our organizational structure, and this was outlined in the legislation, and so it's outlined in our plan. This the management of the system through the individual county offices throughout the region is under the service system section. It also addresses how we'll implement our system of care using the multi-occurring capable principles and trauma-informed. These are all kinds of clinical kinds of principles that were written into the legislation and that regions are to use when providing services and creating new services. This section also deals with utilization and access to services. In Section D, it talks about the financing, and that's where we talk about contracting our fiscal agent, which is Madison County, and how the region plans on pooling the funds. Section E is on enrollment, so this is specific for clients and families and providers on how somebody can enroll and apply for services and what their criteria is to receive those services, and that's under eligibility section F. And we did include the two primary groups that we are to fund are persons with mental illness and persons with intellectual disabilities. The legislation stated that if there was any county in the region that also provided services to other groups like developmental disabilities, brain injury, or kids, that then the region would have to pick that up as well. And we did have counties in our region paying for services for individuals with developmental disabilities and children, so that is included in our management plan. So we're marching forward with that as instructed by the legislation. Section G talks about our appeals process, and there are a couple of different processes. There's a process in there that if a client or their representative or family wants to appeal a decision, they can do so. Then there's a process in there for clinical appeals, and that process was clearly stipulated in the legislation, so we pretty much lifted the language out of legislation and added that into the appeals process. So if there's any question on a clinical eligibility or determination and that's appeal, that gets bumped up to the Department of Human Services to deal with. And then we also have, and it's attachment E in the back, an appeal section for providers if they want to appeal something in the contract or a rate or a service or that kind of thing. There's a process for them to follow. Section 8 talks about our provider network and formation. That's going to probably be a pretty fluid document over time because we'll be adding providers, possibly dropping providers, you know, depending on the services and supports that are being provided. So that's included. Section I is just quality management and improvement. Section J is our service provider payment provision, so paying the providers for the services that they have provided to clients. And then we have waiting list criteria. And then under Section L, the amendments, we have a sliding fee schedule for services, and legislation requires regions to fund individuals at 150% of federal poverty level. That right now is being interpreted as the ceiling, but if a region so chooses, they can go above and beyond that. And most of the counties in our region have paid for services for folks that are above 150% of federal poverty level. And so our sliding fee scale goes up to 250%.
But you still got them paying 80%.
Correct. And actually for Story County, that is a little bit of a change because our sliding fee actually went up to 285%. So it's a little bit of a difference from how we've operated in the past, but it was a consensus among the administrative team that we would go up to 250% and still be able to capture some of those folks. Now, having said that, the sliding fee scale is primarily applied when people are accessing inpatient or outpatient services. And now a lot of that's being picked up through the Iowa Health and Wellness Plan or through Affordable Care. So we'll probably see the numbers of people accessing our sliding fee scale decline because they've got other sources of coverage for those services. I think that is all I will cover at this point. Are there questions or comments?
No, only to just indicate again, I want to express my appreciation to the admin team and all of you for thoroughly going through this and bringing this before the governance board, in which at our last meeting it was presented to us, and there were just a few discussions on just a couple areas which had been adjusted based on what I think is just additional language clarification that you had touched on, and I think that again was very important. What was determined at that meeting, as Deb said, that now it goes back to each individual board to adopt, first of all, and then it will come back to the governance board then be voted on based upon that. To my knowledge, I think everyone in that meeting felt very comfortable about where we were and what this document entails. And as any document, it will be reviewed from time to time to see if there are any adjustments basically need to be made. But I do think this gives us a sound footing as we begin to move forward.
And Wayne, I might add, any adjustments made to the plan after this has been approved will be addressed with the regional board.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, as I view it, what we went through, I guess it's been a couple weeks ago now, maybe a week ago, and this is kind of our final foray as a board of supervisors into this, and really this is the final handoff now to the region. Now we can advocate, but this is really the last decision that a board of supervisors gets to make, isn't it?
Right. For the most part, yeah.
Most part. We still have some other things there particularly those things which involves the general fund, you know, dollars and so forth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
We need a motion to approve it.
I would move that we would approve the Central Iowa Community Service Regional Management Plan as submitted.
Second.
Motion and a second. Anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye. Deb, thanks. Please thank the administrative team.
I will do that. Thank you.
Thank you. That takes us down to agency reports. Child Serve. Is it Rachel Flory? Rochelle, okay,
Rochelle.
Very good. Come on down.
How are you this morning?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Well, I'll give a quick report on ChildServe. We're pretty much serving the same number of children. We have pretty established programs with our child care, our respite program, and the other, you know, outpatient therapy continues to grow. That's probably our largest growing service is our outpatient therapy. We currently see about 90 children a day from 8 to 5. So we're seeing a lot of children come in and out. But as they increase that skill, then they're discharged and they're on to the regular school system again. So we have our child care is probably the service that you guys help assist in through the asset funds. We currently have a child care center for maximum of 116. We're currently serving 110 children out there. We have one classroom that we have to lower the ratio due to the ages that we currently have. We can't take any more children at this time. It's just the way the age groups are. We're a little bit under our maximum in the center. We currently have about 190 part-time and full-time employees that work out at ChildServe. So it kind of gives you an idea of the number of staff. Our current waiting lists are in our therapy program and our child care program. We probably have about 35 on our wait list for our child care services. We have seen an increase this year. Normally, I think the trend has been the last couple of years, we've had a little bit of asset dollars left over. This year, we're currently out of them after this month, so hopefully we'll be able to increase that need and be able to serve more, continue that trend and serve more children through asset. Do you guys have any questions for me? Are you familiar with the four services?
Yeah.
I share a quick good news story?
Please.
Hey, always, always.
Anytime.
Like those.
Earlier this fall, we had a child that we serve fall out of a tree here in Ames. And he was immediately shipped to Des Moines to the hospital. He was in intensive care for about a week and a half. He then transitioned to ChildServe's transitional care unit there in Johnston, and he got intense inpatient therapy. He stayed there for about a month, month and a half. Right around Christmas time, then he was released and transitioned back into the home. The family, they cannot say enough from everything that we did, just because they had four other children in the home. And mom having to be at the hospital with him, dad trying to take care of everybody else at the home. Three of the other children received services through ChildServe, so we were able to increase supports to be able to provide that extra care in the home. But he's doing well. He's walking again. He did have a slight brain injury. Bleeding of the brain due to the accident, but he's doing much, much better. His speech is coming back slowly, but it is. And so I just wanted to share that story because it's a local family where they really utilize the services.
Well, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Boys and Girls Club, I don't think we've got anybody here today. We'll have to reschedule them. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Next, departmental reports. Facilities Management, Cal Pearson. Mr. Sunshine.
Cal, you've been busy.
Yes. That's good, though.
We didn't tell you it was going to be easy when we hired you to be the director, did we?
No, you didn't. You didn't. But it's working out so far. So I got some numbers to run by you real quick on work orders and on calls. They're about the same as they were last time. So administration building, we had 85 work orders, zero on calls. Community life, 131 work orders, 13 on calls. Human Service Center, 63 work orders and 10 on calls. And Justice Center, 61 work orders and 21 on calls. And 7 miscellaneous work orders for a total of 347 work orders and 44 on calls. Also, we had 23 snow days, not including the weekends. That's why my on-call number is up a little high, as the guys have been in spending a lot of time moving snow. Most of them are maxed out on vacation and comp, so we've had to, fortunately we have the overtime line items to fall back on.
That's why it's there.
Yes, and it's greatly appreciated. Annual fire alarm testing and inspections have been completed this quarter for the year. We should be finishing up the heat pump for the Human Service new IT room. So the next step will be the suppression system, and then we'll be able to schedule the actual migration of the IT system from CLP basement over to HSC. While I'm speaking about HSC, the conference room and multimedia area are available for use now. We've got furniture in them.
I have a confession. I used it before it was available.
You did? Yeah, I got a call. Somebody's in there.
I said I was willing to take the heat.
How did it work?
Good. One complaint from Tom Souther that he can hear everything through that wall. So I'm supposed to pass it on to you that's a concern of his, so I'm passing it on to you.
Okay. All right. We'll look into that.
Alistair boards or something up there. You can hang that for soundproof or something.
We'll try it. Maybe we can put some muffs on Tom over there on that side.
Radio.
While I'm speaking about that, we're referring to those areas as Conference Room East and Multimedia Area. The old existing conference room on the west, we're now calling Conference Room West. Unless the board has any other suggestions, and if they're okay with that, I'll have Terry look into getting some signage.
I'm not ready to name it the Cal Pearson.
As far as the signing up for that, again, that goes through
Terry.
Sherry.
Yeah. We've got the book set up, so it's just like the other one. We're all ready to go on that. We've already had calls from outside entities wanting to use the multimedia area. We denied them at this time. I look back through the policy. We don't really have anything written on the use of it, but there's been an unwritten policy that you have to be a Story County employee or an employee of that facility to use those areas. That's something we need to visit in the future.
I think for that room specifically, we need to take a look at that. That is, I encourage you guys to get over and look at it. Cal and his staff did a great job putting that together. It is two really good rooms, but I think there's an opportunity there to allow some community groups mm-hmm. To use, especially that multipurpose area. And we just need to figure out what those guidelines would be.
Yes.
Particularly as we look at the groups that are part of our asset and
yes,
our joint
absolutely.
Funders groups, I think it would make it appropriate if we could, because occasionally there is a need for additional space, and I haven't looked at it yet, but I think that's something that I'm thinking of because they do have a direct tie with the county.
Well, I tell you what, I think that multipurpose area, Deb, is going to be a great possibility for meetings of the regional mental health. I mean, it's big enough to be able to handle the big square that you guys need.
Yeah.
Of tables, I think it's another possibility. It's not the size of this room, but it's probably it's more than half this room.
We've got seating for 30 is what we put in there, so and the tables. So yeah, there's a lot of possibilities for it.
Good. I'll get over and take a look at it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We had a power outage at HSC that lasted about 50 minutes. And other than that, met with the architects on the ongoing CLP roof project and the preliminary meeting of the Justice Center project, and waiting for the report back from the architects on the tower replacement for this building. So those are in the works right there.
Three pretty big projects right
there. Yes, yes, it is. And with the time crunch, we're hoping we can work them through as scheduled. Other than that, we're busy with normal day-to-day duties, and no reported injuries in our department this quarter, which is a good thing. Otherwise, unless the board has any questions, I think that's all I've got for you.
Cal, I'd like it if, since I was the only supervisor included in the initial Justice Center conversation with the architect, I'd like to give these guys just a quick update. I mean, I know since I was there, it was a real preliminary meeting, nothing resolved, but I do want these guys to be informed every step of the way as we go through that planning process. Mm-hmm. So can you just give a synopsis of what you saw happen there?
Just briefly, we had the department's sheriff's department board, myself, IT, and county attorneys were represented there, and the architect staff. And he had some drawings, and we just kind of went through each department and tried to get a feel of what the needs are for the future in that area, and everybody gave a brief idea of what they were looking for, and after the meeting, we took a little tour with the architects to give them a little closer look at some of the problems that we're seeing in the areas of people, such as in the county attorney's office sitting on top of each other, a jail, our video equipment room is maxed. We need to make some more room there, and then the security issues that we have. So,
well, and that's what I was going to say. To me, really, three main issues came out, and it is the security of the building, trying to make sure that we address that in the best, most cost-effective way possible. County attorney office space, making sure that they're not sitting on top of one another and trying to get them all to one central location. And then the one that really was new to me was the idea of this video equipment room and an integrated IT room, which back when the Justice Center was planned and built, we didn't use IT rooms quite like we use them today. And so looking at a way to utilize all that, and the place we're starting to look is that the courtyard area, which since the building became smoke-free, it's the most unutilized space probably in the county. But we're starting to look there, and I would think our next step is to start to get some preliminary sketches of yes. what might happen. There's no real hurry on this. We don't have anything in the budget for next year to do anything. So I would think we'll have all planning done for the board to consider as we start the FY16 budgeting process.
Yeah. I think the architect will set up some meetings with each individual department and get their input, and then we'll have some drawings to start looking at and see where we can improve on those.
How long have we been in that building?
Well, 2002, yeah. And the drawings were drawn in 1999, so the idea was for 20 years of use, and how do you project where you're going to be in 20 years, but there's no doubt we're growing as the years go by.
And Wayne, one other thing to mention in regards to all this, and it's something that we've talked about briefly in the past, but I want to keep reminding you of it, and that is looking at a dedicated route from Herta certain times a day to run from Ames to the Justice Center, because one of the issues that we do have there is kind of the lingering around the front entrance when individuals get out of our jail, and so nothing formally that we've talked about, but we need to be aware of it.
You need to just give me some type of concept, and then I can present it to them and have them start to take a look at that and then see, because we are looking at the growth and expansion of different services, and particularly here in the Nevada area. And so that is a possibility, but I just would need something to bring to the attention of the board and the director to begin to take.
Well, and as we get deeper into this process, I think there's going to be some clarity in terms of what's needed there, Jess Center. And I'd be glad to come and visit with you and the HRTA board about what that might look like.
Did you, by chance, steer clear of adding an additional pod? Has that kind of died now with all the expansion and growth concepts that are being talked about?
Yeah, that hasn't come up yet.
Okay.
So that's.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah, the only, for you guys' information, the only other thing that I can think of that is on the radar, not something we're dealing with right now, but something that Cal and I have discussed, and that is a utility building out by the Justice Center, part of which would be used by the sheriff for some of his equipment, and part of it would be used by Cal for a lot of his snow equipment and things like that. Again, we're not even in the planning stage of that. It's just something that Cal and I have discussed. And then one other thing that we haven't discussed but been mentioned is the possibility of doing something on this end of this building for things like voting equipment. It's kind of where Cal keeps a lot, where you keep a lot of the facility stuff now. If we were able to move that, start to talk about how we're going to utilize that and what this building ultimately is going to look like.
There's definitely some potential here for some more.
And when I say those things, I mean, think years. I mean, those we aren't ready to have those conversations yet. I just want you guys to be aware when we start visiting about certain things, I want you to hear about it up front, and we can put the brakes on if we need to, but these are going to be long-term conversations.
Okay.
On that.
More blade sharpened up because
it's coming.
Be here before you know it.
We'll be ready.
Thanks, Cal.
Thanks, Cal. You're doing a great job.
Looks like we're down to liaison assignments and committee meetings.
Just briefly met with Deb yesterday and just kind of a quick update on where we were and looking at the regional board coming up on Monday and the agenda. And we determined that since there was really only one item of action, that we would have a conference call. And so an email went out yesterday to all the governing board members about just having a conference call to deal with the policies and procedures that we voted on today. Then I asked Paul to be on standby. I'm scheduled to have a doctor's appointment that afternoon, which shouldn't last very long, but in the case that I'm not there, he will just kind of sit in on that conference call for me. Okay.
Pass.
I'll pass also. Public forum number two, comments from the public. On items not on this agenda, the board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but may do so in the future. Looks like we're good for that. Announcements from the supervisor. Wayne.
ISAC County of Day is Wednesday. We'll be meeting at 10 o'clock at the Wallace Building, going over some briefings and information, and then we'll be ascending on the Capitol. A lot of the individuals from all across the counties will be talking about the key legislative priorities that ISAC has identified. And then later that evening, the ISAC Supervisors Exec Board will be meeting, and then spring school is on Thursday and finishing up on Friday. So should be an exciting couple days.
The only thing I have is if you gentlemen would take a look at your calendars for March 31st and April 3rd, we committed to a couple of hearings for this tobacco or e-cigarette ordinance.
Yeah.
And I've been in contact with Denise Dentoner. And
what is that date on March? Is that a Monday or Tuesday?
I think maybe they're Mondays. I can't remember.
March 31st is a Monday.
Okay.
And what was the other one?
April 3rd.
That's a Thursday.
Okay. I think she's made arrangements at the city. I know with the city hall to have.
I usually have MICA board meetings on the 5:30 every fourth Monday of the month. Now I could probably.
That's 5th. 31st is the 5th Monday.
Okay.
Yeah. 24th would be the 4th
right.
Monday.
Okay. Great.
But I think the plan was to have one here and one in Ames. So
good.
So do it both days.
Yep.
Sounds good.
And do we have any idea what time?
I would assume sometime in the evening. I think we haven't got that far yet.
Okay.
So I think a lot of it's going to depend on the county attorney.
Right.
Getting the ordinance the word the way that we want it. I think that he's been in contact with Denise anyway, so.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's all I've got.
Okay.
And with that, we'd entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Motion a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.